I'm Travis.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Emily, and you're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. We are serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously. This week on episode 71, we've got new reviews, we rave about our friends of the show, and we cover some questions that need answers.
What's new, Nate?
I listened to a couple of those podcast episodes from Emily's Keep last week.
Mega?
Yeah. I'm out. I'm 100% out on this.
Out.
Wow.
I'm 100% out. I was listening to it in my truck on the way home from work, and I was just like squirming the whole time. Like I could not. It was just so uncomfortable. I just couldn't get into it. I was just like tingles. I didn't like it.
So, it gave you tingles, but you didn't like it. Okay.
So for what Nate's talking about.
Like bad in the bad way.
M picked a podcast last week as her keep item that is about a fictional mega church. You can go back and listen to episode 70 if you want to catch up on that. It's at the very end. And evidently Nate disapproved. We both think it's hilarious.
It is so funny.
Nate, not so much.
I mean, I won't lie. I laughed a few times because there were some pretty funny parts. But for the most part, I was just like squirming in my seat. I don't know. It was too weird, too real, too.
It is too real. That's what makes it so funny.
Too much. It was too much for me. Just way too much. What's new with you, Travis?
What's new with me is, oh man, I got so much stuff that's new. Like, do you have a lot of news?
I have two new things.
I have at least two. First up, let me just say this. Travis Thompson, the rapper, signed a contract with Epic Records last week, so it was a big week for me personally on Twitter. I've gotten a lot of retweets. I've gotten a lot of I'm trying to seize on that and get some folks to engage in the podcast, but I don't know that the Seattle underground rap market is the same demographic that typically listens to our show.
I think Macklemore would be on our show.
You think so?
I do.
Think he'd be a fan?
I think if we took him fishing, he would be like all about it. And he has like a little girl we could take duck hunting.
Okay, sure.
So we'll have our people get with his people. We'll report back on that.
The other thing I'll touch on real quick is our fan base went off the chain. They went off the top rope last week, didn't they?
What does that mean, off the top rope?
I think that's a good thing. That's like when in wrestling, like when they jump off the top rope. Like,
oh, wrestling. Okay.
Yeah, when you go off the top rope. Like Superfly, Snuka, Jimmy Superfly. I'm looking at glazed eyes right now. Please, someone listening to this that is over the age of, 32, weigh in on wrestling, because these people don't know what I'm talking about.
I watch Glow.
No. Well, okay. Yeah. Glow is based on a true story.
Yeah. So they climb up on the things and they like squat back and jump down and like flatten the other person.
You got it.
I got it.
You come off the top rope. Anyway, our listeners came off the top rope last week. We were like, guys, we've been hustling. Nate, you're hitting the NWTF show. Like you're going to Nashville to network with a bunch of people at some BHA events. Like, I'm all over the state in meetings down here at water quality and FWC meetings, and Emily's like the glue holding everything together. Like, I know it feels like she's probably alone some days.
I just hold Travis together.
And we asked you guys, like, can you help us out? Buy some decals, buy some t-shirts if you can, spread the word, leave us some reviews, and holy crap.
It happened.
Like in a major league way. So
the listeners came through big time.
Huge time. So thank you. Like, it was humbling for us to watch it unfold over the past week. Like, it was a big deal for us. So thank you for that. It means a ton.
Yep, it sure does. We love you guys.
So what is new? Well, hold on. Before we do that, I've got an email that I want to share from a listener, because I know you've got some reviews, right?
Okay. Yeah, I do.
I got an email from a listener. Part of it said, I'm not a hunter or a fisherwoman. I'm a pharmacist, a nurse, a mother, a dog walker, a biologist. I'm a birder, and I can see a common theme. We all love the great outdoors. I am happy to be on your team. See you in the trenches. And then she signed it. Hey, how cool is that? We got someone that's not a hunter, not a fisherman. Like, this is what we set out to do a long time ago. So,
absolutely.
Thank you guys, all of you guys that have told someone about it or anything else. Like,
is she local enough that we could have a Shaq's biscuit with her?
No, but she does want to split a breakfast burrito with you. The women listeners of the show.
Or a breakfast pizza?
No, a breakfast burrito is what she said. The women that listen to this show have a commonality in their interest of food. I'm not gonna parse words on that.
I'll say this, homegirl. I will eat a breakfast burrito with you, but I'm not sharing one. But I'm not sharing mine.
Oh, yeah. She doesn't share food. That doesn't happen.
I'm going to eat all of mine, but we can totes hang out.
What is new with you?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited that we have some new reviews because I haven't been able to do that in a hot minute. Hello from Utah. Running Free 27 says, love this podcast. It's a great taste of home while I'm out here in snowy Utah. Keep the laughs coming.
Another female listener.
I love these women. Okay. The next one says, big time are those ducks. Here to put mountains in this plateau of fallen reviews, this podcast gives the best explanation of life in the outdoors for us here in Florida, the good and the bad. Also, they keep the listeners engaged and up to date with important seminars and meetings across the state that have the potential to improve our wildlife and water quality situation. I'm born and raised here in Florida, fishing and hunting, and I hope we can hold it together for future generations to experience what we have been able to in the outdoors before it's too late.
That's a good review.
Hear, hear.
I love the line, here to put mountains into this plateau of fallen reviews.
And yeah, P.S. That is quality writing right there.
Poetry.
All of these reviewers that are going right now, I owe all of them a sticker. Because remember I said I would give stickers to the next five reviews that got in? And
yes.
These were all. Now, before you get to Scott Hansen, Scott in Utah.
Yes.
All right. Scott in Utah said that his wildest dream is to be part of a game as the foot.
Really?
Like, he messaged me privately and said that is part of his wildest dream. So we're about to make his wildest dreams come true. The title of Scott's review gets cut off. So I need y'all to tell me what you think he meant to type.
Oh, this is
okay?
The game. Okay.
So this is the game as the foot. I get it.
This is the game as the foot, and we're making someone's wildest dreams come true at the same time. If Garth Brooks and Kenny Chesney, that's it.
That's where it cuts off.
Garth Brooks and Kenny
Chesnut.
Okay.
Do you think he meant to say Kenny Chesnut?
Yes. Yes. Kenny
Chesnut. That's Mark Chesnut's cousin.
So I'm going to say, if Garth Brooks and Kenny Chesney had a baby.
Oh. First off.
Unnatural.
Yeah, that's not of God. But, Em, what do you think? I mean, do you have any thoughts on what he's trying to say there? If Garth Brooks and Kenny Chesney.
If Garth Brooks and Kenny Chesney had an alpaca.
That's what you think he was trying to.
What? An alpaca?
Alpaca farming is lucrative, guys. They have the money. If Garth Brooks and Kenny Chesney had a cooking show.
What if Garth Brooks and Kenny, the Chesapeake Bay Retriever. But he spells bad. What if Scott in Utah can't spell?
Oh, Scott, do you have a learning disability, Scott?
No, he doesn't have a learning disability. He can't spell. Anyway, we will know what he meant.
There's a context clue coming.
Yeah, Nate actually nailed it.
I don't know. That could be about an alpaca.
No, I do know because I messaged Scott in Utah.
Oh, dang it.
Boom.
And Nate nailed it. So, do you want to do the review?
Okay, here's the review. If Garth Brooks and Kenny Chesney... .. and they dressed it in a sleeveless Salt Life t-shirt, this podcast would water swat it like a one-legged coot right out of the hydrilla. Awesome podcast. 5 stars all around. I appreciate you guys for being a voice for conservation and the outdoor community. I traded snook and reds to go chase elk and trout for a few years out of state, but you all keep me sane until I get back to Florida. Keep it up.
Boom.
Where is he in Utah?
Provo.
I want to go to Utah. I follow a lot of nice Mormon bloggers in Utah, and they are very, very successful women.
Yeah, Utah looks like a beautiful place, mm-hmm. especially the Salt Lake City area, mm-hmm. which is near Provo, I believe.
I don't know. All I know about Provo is that it's quoted in Ocean's 11 when the Malloys are talking to Saul, and they say, have you ever been to Provo? I think you could do very well there.
Oh, we have one more.
That's everything I know about Utah right there.
One more review, guys. Friend of the show, Ryan Briggs, says, started listening to learn how to identify and shoot a Drake model duck. Didn't shoot one this season. Not sure if this is working. Still five stars.
Thank you, friend of the show, Ryan Briggs.
Yeah, and I'm not mailing him a sticker. I'm just taking it to him.
It's real difficult for us to describe how to shoot a Drake model duck without some visual cues.
It's true.
This medium is only auditory, Ryan.
So, yeah, if you will send us your prime, we don't offer this service a lot. If you'll send us your prime modeled spots, we'll go check them out.
Definitely.
We'll get the lowdown
sure
on
some,
how to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make sure there are some high
video.
Quality.
Mm-hmm. We'll harvest a couple.
Models.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Verify that they are Drakes. We'll do some DNA testing. Make sure they're pure. Anyway. Did you have another what's new, or was that all your what's news?
Oh, I do have a what's new.
I thought you did.
Maybe it'll be a key. No, it's got to be a what's new. I don't know if he listens, but one of your, so on the Florida Duck Hunters page,
yes,
somebody commented and said they couldn't make it to a conservation meeting. And Travis always beats people up about that nicely. But he responded to this particular person and said, man, I'm just surprised you're still alive. And I thought, huh, that's weird. His name is Josh Wynn. So I clicked
friend
on
of the show, Josh
Is he
Wynn.
A friend of the show?
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Josh Wynn. I clicked on his profile and he's, there is a saga of his wife being out of town. And I don't know Josh Wynn, but.
Nor his wife.
Or his wife. But apparently that man has had some mishaps and it is laugh out loud comedy gold to go read through his. Let's just say there was an incident where his pants split open in a rainstorm and he fell butt first into duck poop river, a river of duck poop. I don't understand.
Wait, where's all the duck poop coming from?
He's got a farm.
From his farm. He lives on a farm.
He actually owns ducks.
There was an incident where he thought he was being charged by a mama pig, but she really just wanted a treat, but it scared him half to death.
And most importantly, there was an incident in Chinese food wherein his wife didn't buy toilet paper before she left to go out of town.
Lots of bathroom things happening to Josh Wynn. Josh, if you're listening, man, and we can help
Thoughts
you out.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, T's and P's out to you, buddy.
Oh, man.
She'll be back by the time this airs, but I really, I wanted to start a GoFundMe. I thought that would have been important.
It was my favorite thing on the internet this whole week. So thanks for sharing, Josh.
Okay. Important moment. We have some questions that need to be answered. And I straight up ripped this off of the podcast. P.S. I just straight up ripped it off.
Thank you, Knox and Jamie.
Yeah. The Urban Dictionary, there's a term called QTNAs. What are your QTNAs in the world, Nate? Like, what are your QTNAs? Like, I can't think of an example off the top of my head. Where did Elsa get her superpowers from in Frozen? Mm. That's a question that needs to be answered. Like, why does she...
There's a Frozen 2 coming out.
They're supposed to explore that.
Yeah.
But, I just hope that Sven is a big feature in that.
Well,
the reindeer.
It's kind of like an arbitrary thing, right? They just drop it in there. We talked about the Tori paradox a few weeks ago on Saved by the Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where does Tori come from? And then she just disappears. And anyway, in the outdoors world, there are some questions that need to be answered. And we hear these questions asked from time to time. So we thought, as a service to you, our listeners, we give it our level best. Without further ado, I'm going to kick it off with this. Why do mullet jump?
Because they're scared.
That's a good question. I've really never thought about it that much.
You've never thought out in a boat, why is that mullet jumping?
Okay. No, okay. No, I have thought about it, but I've never actually asked the question and philosophically thought about why a mullet jumps.
It's not philosophical, is it?
Yeah, I don't think it's philosophical. Do you know that word? You keep using that word, and I do not think it means what you think it means.
He knows what it means.
I feel like, do they jump to get air? Is that what it is?
What? I don't know.
Oxygen?
I can tell you what I Googled. Do you have a guess?
I have a Google right in front of me.
Go ahead.
It says there are several theories. Some scientists believe they leap from the water when they're being pursued by a predator or to shake off a clinging parasite. Someone says maybe they're seeking more oxygen.
Which is Nate's point.
Maybe they're just doing it to praise the Lord.
Here's my question.
Maybe.
If they're being pursued by predators, I've seen some 5 and 6 pound mullet jump. That's a big old predator.
Yeah. It would have to be like a tarpon, like a 100 pound tarpon to eat that.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, I don't think they jump because they're being pursued by predator. I mean, I think they would jump if they were being pursued by a predator, but I don't think that's the reason they just go around jumping.
In my mind, it's always been because they like it.
Yeah, well, and they usually shower when they're being pursued by predators. Like,
yes.
All of them kind of come out of the water at one time.
Yes,
but
a bunch of them will spray.
You know, you're fishing, and randomly, mullet are just kind of jumping all around you, just single mullet.
Have you noticed that they'll jump in the same spot too? Like, I notice that a lot more duck hunting than I do fishing, because you're sitting there without a fishing pole and watching your decoys, and it seems like a mullet will jump right in front of that third decoy every 5 minutes. He'll jump in the same spot to the point where you convince yourself you can shoot him.
Time
you can't
up, make sure.
P.S. you can't.
Yeah,
trust me on this.
No, it's that's interesting. Good question.
Maybe right. Maybe there is though like a pleasure receptor in their tiny little mullet brain that
they're just happy.
They just like it when they jump. They're just like, wee.
Maybe.
If yeah. anyone listening to this is a mullet biologist and can with 100% certainty answer this question, please reach out and let us know, and we will let the people know, because people need to know this.
Mm-hmm. They do.
All right. Do you have a question?
What they want.
Do you have a QT&A?
I do. I have a QT&A. So we hunt wild game, correct?
We do.
Why do we call all of them game?
Do you know?
That is an interesting one. I have actually never really thought about this question. It's just always been in my vocabulary, wild game. It's just what it's called.
I'm seeing a recurring theme with Nate and the deep thinking on these questions. I don't think Nate has any QT&As because he's just like, nah, they don't.
Oh, I've got a few. No,
I'm saying you. The questions we're asking, you don't need answered. You're just like fine with it. Oh, it's just yeah. wild game. Oh, mullet, just jump. It is what it is. So here's the answer for the wild game. I looked this up earlier today. It's because the pursuit of the game is called a game. So traditionally in like England or Europe, when you hunted, you were playing a game. You were pursuing a game. A game was the foot, so to speak. And
so to speak. There you go.
They shortened it to whatever you harvested was game. And specifically, they originally intended for it to just be venison or deer, but we've kind of co-opted it. I don't know how to say that. Anyway, we've stolen it, and we use it for all manner of wild game now, and even some fish we sometimes will call game, which probably isn't correct. But that's where that answer comes from.
Thank you, Travis.
That's were you Googling it right now?
That's so neat.
All right, Nate, do you have a question, a QT&A?
I do.
What do you got?
Why do they call the breeding season of wild game the rut? Specifically like deer and, you know, deer species. They call it the rut. Why? I've never really
thought about that. Did you Google this? So do you have the answer in front of you? Because I have no clue.
I will have the answer in just a moment here.
So while you're not Googling that, while you're just flipping to it, Emily has it. I always confuse you know how deer rub on stuff?
Right.
I always thought my dad was mispronouncing a rub as the rut, and I kind of thought it was the same thing. So I thought deer rutted the tree and vice versa. That's not why it is, but that's what Travis always thought it was, and I just accepted that as the gospel and went with it. What is the answer?
I don't think my answer's right.
Did Google let us down?
No, I just, in my head, I just picture a rut, and I'm like, you either get in it. And so that's mating season. Yeah. That just makes sense to me.
It is the rut for the deer of the year. Yeah, they just kind of get in a rut for a few weeks. Yeah.
Does anyone know the answer? Sense. Do either of you know the answer?
Yes.
What is it?
Would you like to tell your answer, Nate?
No, go ahead.
Okay. The males will rub their antlers or horns on trees and shrubs and fight with each other, wallow in mud and dust. And I guess because they rut their antlers off, like they rut it, they rub rut. That's where it comes from.
Okay.
So all it right. is exactly what I defined it as. Mm-hmm. I was just wrong in how I got to that definition.
I guess the rut refers to all the behaviors and activities around the breeding. We could technically, as humans, could be in a rut because we're recording this on Valentine's Day.
I've heard that term used before.
Have
for
you?
Humans.
That's weird.
It was
anyway.
Disturbing.
Ew, yikes.
So you did the why is it called game. Here's the question that needs to be answered. What is the best tasting wild game?
That I feel like that is a subjective thing.
Well, no, I
so
feel
I
like
we
are the authority
we can,
on
we
this.
Can get, well, I okay. All right, if okay. In my mind elk is the best wild game.
Yeah,
I have personally tried.
I think I agree with you on that. I think elk is the best tasting wild game of all the wild games.
Right.
I mean, you've never had elk.
I've never had elk.
Do I need to harvest an elk for you?
If we get to go to Utah and hang out with, what's his name? Yeah.
Scott Hansen mm-hmm. and or Running Free 27?
Yeah.
Okay.
If I get to go, yeah.
Okay, sure. I'm sure we can make that happen.
I've never had elk. I think the craziest thing I've ever had is like shark or crocodile or alligator. Not crocodile. This is in Australia.
Crocodile.
So have we talked about doing a podcast completely with Australian accents?
We're not never doing that.
No.
No.
Do you have a best tasting wild game? Or are you just going to concede that Nate and I are correct on this and we'll just go with the...
I would defer to your expertise. But if we're considering fish game, I really like snapper. I don't see how you top that.
Okay. Okay. And our family's a big venison family. They're fans of the venison. So, okay.
A nice wood duck breast is pretty good too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like all wild game. Like I haven't had a game that I dislike.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
But I think I would go with you. The elk is like the, it's like a richer, it's like more steaky, beefy than venison is, but it's still wild.
Right. Right. And it's got like a little sweetness to it. That's yes. Like a natural sweetness. That's really good.
Yes. All right, Em, you're up.
Oh, goodness. My next burning question that needs an answer is why, what is the situation with bananas on a boat? Why are bananas bad luck? I love a banana.
Yeah, I think back in the day, like when merchant ships were a thing, like in the 1700s and piracy was a thing. And I think when you saw bananas floating in the water, because I think bananas float. When you saw bananas floating in the water, it meant that a ship has gone down right there.
Oh.
And so it was like bad luck. So sailors kind of associated with bananas with a sunken ship. I think from what I've heard, that's where it came from.
Okay.
In a cross-marketing fail, we did an episode on superstitions. I don't remember. It was early. It was like single-digit episode on outdoor superstitions. I think the other theory was that bananas off gas and will cause other fruits to
ripen
faster.
I have heard that right. as well.
And so there's a theory out there. Also, they carried spiders. So bananas, you'd have the big spiders on the boat. They'd off gas, they'd cause stuff to rot, and then they floated if the boat sank. So between those three things, people are like anti-banana on the boat.
No bananas.
Yeah. And we agreed, why ever risk it? Like, you should always err on the side of caution.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think I told this story back then. Like, some guy comes down from Minnesota. You know, he spends $10,000 to take his family to Disney World for the week, and he carves out Thursday to come fish. You know, he's never caught a saltwater fish. He's going to be on the fish of a lifetime. And you go out there, and everything that could possibly go wrong goes wrong. Like, the prop breaks, that you get seasick, the perfect flat calm, the tarpon won't bite anything. Like, and then they get back to the boat, and he's like, oh, I had bananas. I just wanted to see if it worked. No, moron. Leave the bananas.
You punch him in the
eye. It worked, because everything went wrong.
I don't know. Even when people go out with bananas, and they have a monster fishing day, and they're like, oh, see, I caught all these fish with bananas. I'm like, dude, can you imagine how good your day would have been if you didn't have bananas?
Bingo.
Like, why tempt the wrath from high atop the thing?
Right.
So, whose turn is it?
It's your turn.
It's my turn. Nate, question that needs to be answered, and I say this regularly on charters and trips. Who would win a fight between a snook and a bass?
Oh, snook, hands down. That's not even a question.
All things being equal, you think a snook wins?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going by fighting, like, how hard they fight. A 5-pound snook and a 5-pound bass... might as well live in a different universe. They're not even, it's not even close.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I agree. And I think snook fights so dirty and they use the line against you. I could totally see a snook like backing a bass up against a dock pillar and then just like running circles around him and wrapping them up in a fishing line and then just like punching them in the face until they die.
That was graphic.
And dark.
Very, very also, specific.
They could also, after they've tied them to the pylon, using your analogy, they could cut them with their gill plates.
Because you
know, snook have really sharp gill plates.
Are so they, like, I can just see the snook like throwing the final punch and then the bass like knocks out and the snook like spits on the ground and walks away and puts their cowboy hat back on.
Are they near the end zone? Is that why they're tying them to a pylon? Because that doesn't feel on brand at all.
The snook jumped off the top rope.
Yeah. The expression I commonly say is if you tied a 5-pound snook to a 5-pound bass, he would drown it by pulling it backwards.
Is there ever a scenario where this could be real? Because isn't a bass a freshwater and a snook is a saltwater?
There's absolutely scenarios where they're overlapping.
For sure. Yeah. Like during the winter, snook move up rivers and are caught next to bass.
And there's videos. There's videos of big snook, like 20-pound snook, eating 3 to 5-pound bass. But that's not a fair comparison for what we're.
Is this like the Montagues and the Capulets or whatever? Like the
Hatfields and McCoys bring it up. Oh, you know, 500 years.
Yeah.
This is a long running feud between snook and bass that I don't know about. Seems
serious. I don't think they're feuding. I don't think they're feuding. I think a snook will eat anything that comes by it. If it can fit in its mouth or close, a snook will eat it. Anyway, yeah, that's a ridiculous question. It probably didn't need to be answered, but I feel like we addressed it correctly.
I feel the same.
All right. Do you have any more?
I've got one more.
Nate's got one more. I'm out. Are you out?
I'm out.
Okay. Nate's got the last one.
So I'm going off topic a little bit here. In the office, why is Michael Scott almost bald in season one and then has a full head of hair in season two? Someone riddle me that.
I have thought this many times, Nate. Many times.
I mean, it's like all of a sudden he like got hair plugs or something. I don't know. Like, did he get a hair treatment or are they putting it in post-pro? Like, I don't know.
I think it's the way they were combing it, because in the first season they were back combing it away from his face and you could see like it was thin at the front, but then they cut it a little shorter and they front combed it like with gel, so it was combed towards his forehead or to the side of it, and I think it masked the hair loss.
I don't know if anyone's still listening.
I feel like his hair got thicker as the seasons went on, but that's
maybe
just
he
me.
Got some Rogaine.
Here's the thing, I think, because I shouldn't deign this with a response because it's so far off topic, but I will. I'll allow it. Did you notice that Michael also lost about 40 pounds between season one, which was only 6 episodes, and season two? Like, he went from being fat Michael to being like...
They sexed him up a little.
Yeah, like he was a decent looking dude.
You needed to, though, because it was hard to love him because he was a little dumb.
Right. So he needed something else going for him.
Yeah.
No, that's a great question, Nate. And I really feel like that... The outdoor industry in and of itself was waiting for that answer.
Hey, we never said this is an outdoor. Well, yes, we did.
I'm really glad you asked that because I thought I was the only one that noticed stuff like that. So
it's important.
I mean, really, Nate is making me feel less alone, and that is helpful to the outdoors industry.
Nate, what is your release?
My release is Valentine's Day. Now, don't get me wrong. I love setting aside a day to tell my girlfriend how much I love her, which is all good. But it's stupidly expensive if you go that route. Like, if you go with, like, the flowers and the chocolates and the balloons and the card and the, you know, it can be in the dinner reservations at a nice place and all that stuff. It can be very expensive. And so that's my main reason for releasing it, is it's just expensive. And you can tell your significant other that you love them every day of the year, and then you don't get them something on Valentine's Day, and sometimes they get upset. I'm like, okay, this is a year-long thing. So anyway, I'm just like, I love telling my girlfriend I love her, and I love, you know, doing nice things for her and stuff like that, but the one day a year thing's kind of like, I don't know, not into it.
No, I actually share this sentiment, and I'm a female. And I was wondering if I could follow up with a question about the 5 love languages. So are you guys, either of you guys, high on the gift love language?
She's high on the giving gifts love language. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not so much, but she's super high on gifts. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily receiving them, but she loves giving them and loves making them super thoughtful and, you know, something that's off your list, quote unquote, but it's also like something you didn't know you needed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that kind of thing. So,
yeah. A la Leslie Knope.
Yes. Very similar.
Like Leslie Knope always made you make that
the TV
face.
Show theme.
Yes.
Travis and I are not necessarily big on gifts. Maybe birthday is a little bit more, but like Valentine's Day, we are for sure
out.
Out. So that was that's a nice compatible thing that we have. And I had a coworker today who was like, I don't know what I'm getting my wife. I haven't gotten her anything. I guess I'll see what happens on the way home. I was like, well.
Yeah.
All about expectations on Valentine's Day. That's a scary game to play.
What is...
Prayers for him.
Yeah, thoughts
and
prayers.
T's and P's, yeah.
What is your release, Emily?
My release for the ladies who listen and you've been coming out of the woodwork is magnetic lashes. Okay.
Oh my God.
These have taken internet by storm.
We've gone completely off the rails.
So, no.
This is our last episode.
So, you know, they make like glue on eyelashes that people have been using for a bajillion years. And I used them because I used to do theater. And nowadays they have these magnetic eyelashes and they are, you cannot put them on.
This is fantastic.
They're terrible. Don't waste your money on them. I just feel like I need to tell the sisterhood that it's not worth even trying because I just spent $15 at CVS today to try it and I just cussed a lot. That's all I got out of it is a lot of cussing.
What do they stick to?
Each other.
No, what
it's a magnet, honey. You know, magnets stick to each other.
No, but is it magnetically stick to your eye?
No, they have a top and a bottom of the lashes that stick to each other and your natural lashes go in the middle.
Oh, got it.
It is a dumpster fire of a situation when you're trying to put them on.
Wow. Well,
tell me your release, Travis.
Hunters and Fishermen of America, I hope you take that into account when you're looking at magnetic lashes next week at CVS.
Yeah, you never know what people are into. Hey, people are freaks.
I don't ask, don't tell. My release is very specific again. We had more water quality meetings or more meetings last week for spraying with FWC. Out of the 6,700 members on Florida Duck Hunters, how many do you think I've seen at these meetings?
12.
12. Nate, do you know what percent that is?
Is it, let me do some quick math here.
It's 0.17%.
That's what I was going to say.
Not 17%. 0.17. So 0.0017.
You could say 17% of 1%.
Yes. Of the largest duck hunting group in Florida. And some dude got after me and was like, I can't believe you're fronting off saying that people should be attending this. Like, dude, all I see out here during duck season is spray this, spray this. Why are they spraying this? Why are they spraying this? Why are they spraying this? They got to quit spraying. And FWC is saying, we want you to come talk to us about it. And you ain't showing up to talk to them about it. Now, people are. There's been great attendance at these meetings. Fishermen, long time, what I term Florida crackers, like old timers are showing up and saying, hey, you're killing our lakes. You've got to do something different. We got to look at mechanical harvest. We've got to look at something else. Decisions get made by folks that show up. And for the duck hunting community, and I'm targeting that group specifically right here, for them to be as whiny about spraying as they are, and for only 0.0017 of them to show up, that's kind of embarrassing.
I agree.
Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, I saw a lot of people kind of coming back and saying, oh, it's in the middle of the week and it's really hard and I can't and I won't. You know, you can and you should. And sometimes the hardest things and the right things are the same.
Yes.
And you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it in time away from your kids and your wife now. Or you're going to pay for it with your kids' future later when duck hunting isn't even a thing in Florida because you couldn't bother to be away for 4 hours on a Wednesday. So pick your poison. And if you're pushing it forward to the next generation to take care of, at least shut up on the internet about it so we don't have to deal with your crap now.
Yeah. I use the analogy, and I don't like to make light of this stuff, but it's like a cancer diagnosis and you have visible symptoms. Like we did over the summer, we had water quality issues. We had dead dolphins washing up. We had algal blooms. We had all this stuff. And now the symptoms aren't as visible and people are like, oh, we're fine. So during duck season, you see people spraying. The ducks aren't here. Everyone's all up in arms. Now duck season's over. Oh, we're fine. Let's get till next season and then we'll worry about it in November.
And yeah, duck season's over and they stop spraying for a couple months.
Yeah.
And like, oh, big win. And then it's like, wait, they're going to start back spraying in like May. So I mean, it's just going to happen.
We as a group and our listeners have shown up and I cannot thank them enough. Like our listeners have been there in force. We've had more listeners of the show up than FDH has had show up. But that's not the competition. That's not what I want to make it about. we've kind of put a goal out there to recruit people into the sport, but also to push as relentlessly as we can to move the sports forward, however we can. Hunting right. and fishing. Those are the things we love, and we want to preserve them. We want to be stewards of them. We're not going to stop going to them. Like, we're committed to this cause, but geez, it would just be, it'd be nice to see some more people show up. Like, conservation, you said last week, has won the day as far as being a star in the last year's saga, but we can't just rest on our laurels and allow the tragedy of commons to unfold where only the consumers care. And then once the thing has been consumed, it's done. It's doomed forever.
Right.
I feel like we're tap dancing around that in Florida with the outdoors lifestyle in general. Hunting, fishing, but even beyond that, just outdoors, hiking, camping, bird watching, the whole nine yards. So,
well, and you know, last time I checked, 1,000 people a day are moving to Florida.
Yep.
So we're not gonna have less people. It's just, it ain't gonna happen.
No.
But with more people comes, right, with more people comes less wilderness, less wild places, less wildlife, less ducks, more spraying, because people live on lakes and, like, I don't like the weeds on my feet. And, you know, so, like, for us to, for this to be continued, the people who are invested and want to consume and want to recreate have to step up.
Absolutely.
And make their voices heard and say, we are still here, we still want this. And we will fight to the teeth to keep it around.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
All right. Do you have a good keep?
I have a great keep, and it kind of flows along the lines of conservation. So I got these shoes. I got them for Christmas. Now, I had been getting, like, targeted ads on Facebook about these for months, and they're $150 a pair. So I was not going to buy them for myself, but I did ask for them for Christmas. They're called Rothy's. And they are flat, really cute, pointy-toed, like, shoes you can wear to work if you work in an office or you need to be business casual. They're made from water bottles.
Recycled water bottles.
One-time use recycled water bottles. And the process with which they weave the shoes together has very little waste. You can recycle the shoes when you're done wearing them. And they are super comfortable. You can wash them. I am beyond thrilled with these shoes. Highly recommend. So for you ladies listening, if you're looking for a good quality shoe, there you go.
Or if a guy wants to knock it out of the park with a Valentine's gift late,
yeah,
that would be a good one.
You can sign up for, like, their email thing and get $10 off right off the bat. They're still expensive. It's an investment, but I really kind of love what they're doing. And now that I've actually worn them for a couple months, they're big time.
Very cool. You're happy with how they fit and feel?
Yeah, they're super comfortable. And they look so sleek because I got, like, a pointed toe. So they look really great for work.
Like a witch.
Like a bruja.
What about you, Nate? What's your keep?
So my keep is a bill that got passed in the Senate, or was it the House? Hold on.
It was the Senate.
Give me.
It was the Senate.
Was it the
92
Senate?
To 8.
Yes. Yes. It got passed with flying colors, which is awesome. And it's the Senate Bill 47, and it's basically the, you know, Land and Water Conservation Fund is a part of this bill. A lot of public land issues are a part of this bill. It's they kind of dubbed it, like, the Public Lands Bill, I think is what they call it.
Yep.
But anyway, there's a lot of great conservation legislation in this bill, and it got, like I said, 92-8, got passed with flying colors. So big win for the outdoor community and the future of hunting and fishing in the Senate last week.
Yeah, that was a big win. I saw that celebrated quite a bit. I was happy to see that. All right, I'm going last. So I had something else as my keep, but I saw this trailer the other day for this movie, and y'all are just going to have to hang with me for a minute because it got me pumped up on a movie, and you know I'm not a movie person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of the movie Yesterday, Nate? It's coming out.
Yesterday.
Is this
no,
the
I don't
Beatles
so.
Movie?
Yes.
Yes, I did hear about this.
Do you know the premise?
I don't.
The premise is a guy is kind of he's a young guy, but he's kind of a washed up musician. And he gets hit by a car riding his bike during a power outage. And when he wakes up, he's the only person in the world that knows who the Beatles are. So
Whoa.
He sits there and he starts playing a Beatles song and everyone starts freaking out because it's such a great song.
Mm-hmm.
And then he plays a different Beatles song and everyone freaks out because he's got this gift to songwrite. And then he plays another Beatles song and everybody's like, oh my God, you need to do an album. And it just builds and builds. And he knows that he didn't create the songs, that the Beatles did.
Mm-hmm.
oh my God, dude. If you watch this trailer, you're going to be like, holy crap, this is good. Like, it's such a creative idea for how to do a movie.
Super original. Like, movies these days are just all like sequels and remakes and
exactly,
you know, nothing original, but something like that, that sounds like pretty cool idea.
So yeah, that was it. I saw the trailer and I was like, holy crap, I'm gonna make that my keep because it was so cool. So it's called Yesterday, it comes out this summer, and we're gonna go see it. Like, it's that good.
We'll have a link to it in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll link to the trailer. So watch the trailer though and tell me if you enjoy it. I think that's all I got. Oh, I do have one more thing we didn't talk about earlier, but we're gonna tag it on the end. Can you see this, Nate?
Is that a journal with Cast and Blast Florida on it?
Yes.
And a wood duck head?
That Scott McKinney made.
It's
so
beautiful.
So Dark Order Calls is making leather now. And he sent us this journal. And what we're going to do next duck season is we're going to get Justin Seelig's going to make us a decoy. Scott's going to make us a call in this journal. And we're going to send it around and let people tell us about their hunts in the journal. And we're going to do like a traveling box of Cast and Blastness.
And so they can hunt over the decoy, log the hunt in the journal, and then pass it on to the next person.
Yes, exactly.
Love it. That's so awesome.
So very cool. And I kind of want to do it. I haven't figured out if we should do it nationally or if we should do it just in Florida or maybe do one of each. Maybe do one that's a box that kind of follows the migration all the way down from Canada and then do one that's like stays within the state.
I think we should do it nationally because we have so many cool people that live like
in Utah.
Yeah, all over, and they reach out and we love them. So
Emily's going to talk to me about Utah now for the next 4 hours.
It's important to be woke about Utah travel.
Cast and Blast Utah is coming near to a theater near you.
Stay woke.
Thanks for listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. For more info on our mentions, like those shoes made from water bottles that I can't stop bragging about, or the movie trailer to that Beatles movie, check out our show notes. As always, catch us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest on water quality meetings in Florida. You can check us out at Cast and Blast FL. If you want info on the merchandise we have available with our new logo, the t-shirts are at our website, castandblastfl.com. Later.